Lecture topic, the harms of the nafs.
Very important is the problem and problem of thinking what I am not some however. In the matter. This ayat is always revolving the mind all the time. It can become a shield for you to commit innocence. Sad to say, we have this belief in heart, so we don't follow it. Mahasa said many a time that we believe in a lot of things, but we don't do it. The action problem. But as far as I is concerned, one person has fear all the time that he will face Allah one day. If that is revolving your mind all the time, this fear in you that you will face Allah for one day, then it's obvious that you restrain yourself from all impure evils and desires and lusts. This is a very important thing that you have in your mind, in your heart. So every action that you do, you must have this in you that I'm going to take Allah Ta'ala. Because Allah loves this thing enough. That is the most important. Whatever you do, this must be in your mind that I'm doing this if Allah is happy with me. Everyone's happiness is not important. His happiness is most important. The happiness of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's obvious that, you know, we say the shaitan is a culprit. But if you really look at it, the actual shaitan is a nafs. Because if you look at it, that before shaitan, what did? What caused shaitan to go against Allah? Another shaitan. It was his nafs. It was his nafs. So we come to know that the most important thing is to control your nafs. To control your nafs. So if you can control your nafs, then you won. But don't be under the impression that you control your nafs, because you have to control your nafs back to the day of Wa'adul Hatta Yaqeen, that you pass away. Because a person, when he got a horse, for 50 years he got that horse to win, but you never see him riding the horse without holding the reins. He's always holding the reins. Likewise, the nafs, no matter how much you control it, don't be under the impression you have controlled. The way you slip away, you come to life. Like a lion, like a snake, it hibernates. And then just touch it nicely and enjoy it, and this only wakes up what happens. That's how your nafs is. You must not think you have controlled your nafs. You must be on jihad all the time. There's a fight with the nafs all the time, which you have to do at all times. That is the most important. Control your nafs is very important. So my husband said this thing, Alaykum anfusakum, he read this ayah, Alaykum anfusakum layakum. But all those who got iman, hold fast onto your nafs. Control your nafs. It must not control you, you must control it. Just as you control your horse, you stop it when he wants to. You let it move when he wants to move. Likewise, you must use that thing that your nafs is your slave. You must not become the slave of your nafs. It sounds very easy, but when you begin to continue going against your nafs, because you must try not one thing, you can use any means of trying to control your nafs, you can not win. You're going to punish your nafs too, you won't win. You can do whatever you want. There is no way you can punish your nafs, because the nafs will never be punished. But you have to control your nafs that you have control of that. A person, you know, when he controls his nafs, even when he punishes his nafs, he says, no, let me do this, let me do that, let me do this. What kind of punishment you give your nafs? My husband is saying it, I'm not saying it. I'm only repeating what he said. Many a time people use all kinds of means to fight the nafs, doing this, that, nothing happening. In fact, it'd be more like, you know, a person with thoughts coming to his mind. When thoughts come into his mind, don't fight it. Because you could fight your thoughts, the fight for more. Say, leave him alone. Leave your thoughts alone. Many a time you find people when they got thoughts coming, all kind of waswasa. You know waswasa is coming? Say, I'm going to push it like this, I'm push like that. He's pushing you more. It comes more. The only way to get rid of your waswasa is not to worry, forget about it. Like a passing wind. The more you worry about it, the more it gets hold of you. You won't be able to sleep also. I'm not saying the Buzhugan is being a thing, I'm only repeating what they are saying. That as far as possible, all kinds of thoughts come into you, you must not follow it, just forget about it. Don't say, I'm trying to push it. The more you push it, it'll push you. But when you forget about it, you forget about it. Because how it came, it go on its own. You did not bring it, it came on its own, it has to go on its own too. So this is very important, the nafs. Do not wrestle with nafs, it won't help you at all. So controlling your nafs is very important, because once you control your nafs, and controlling your nafs means that at all times, to make sure you're not going to fall down, you're going to go against your nafs. I'm giving an example, the cell phone. See, the cell phone is your nafs. It tells you so much when you go out of the masjid, let me look at the cell phone. Remember one thing, the cell phone, if you use it in the right way, is permissible. But if you use it the wrong way, it's zulm. And a very big zulm. Allah Ta'ala not like oppression. You are causing harm to yourself. People are using cell phone for the right purpose, that's good. But if you use the same instrument for the wrong purposes, then that is haram. Anything that you see, Allah means something halal. But if you use it in an improper way, then that now becomes haram. Now we are very weak, you know, we are very weak. We don't use it only for our purpose, we use it for wrong purposes too. Let me be very honest with you. I'm not going to point fingers to anyone, but I'm telling you, very few of us are free from it. Sad to say. This nafs of ours is so important that you have to fight your nafs. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. No matter what happens. That's why I recited that ayat before, this one man and khawfa maqam rabbihi. That person who only can do this stop from committing this sin or any other sin or any wrongs, if he has this in heart all the time, that I'm going to face Allah. I'm going to face Allah. Because once you have this in your heart, the moment you see your eyes going to the wrong place, to see someone wrong to, your eyes going to a woman to see. But you could, I will face Allah. If that becomes like, you know, in your heart strongly, definitely it becomes a barrier for you. It not allow you to go more further at all. It stop you straight away. Your eyes will not want to see that because it's so strong in you. That is what we haven't got in our hearts. We're making zikr, we're making all kind of, we're making so much of zikr, sitting zikr program, that program, all kind of programs. There's nothing wrong with the program, there's everything wrong with us. Because we are not sitting with the right intention. Our intention must be that, Ya Allah, I want your muhabbat to come to my heart. I want you and no one else. If that becomes very strong in you all the time, and when it becomes strong, means when you're driving car, you're making zikr of Allah. You go to the masjid, you're making zikr of Allah. You sit in your offices, you got free, you got no work to do, you're making sure that you're making the zikr of Allah. It becomes so strong, you know, when that condition comes into you at all times, then you see for yourself, your eyes will not see the wrong things. You will not look at the wrong things. If you look at the things, I know so many people, alhamdulillah, who have got this kind, they look at them 24 hours behind on a cell phone, but they're not seeing one wrong thing too. When I'm busy with my business, I'm being with that. But you can count the people. Many of them, you can count them. In other words, you count them, you can't talk about them. Because all those people who got big dharis, all those people who got big kurtas, all of them are all victim of the sin. I'm not going to say you have to look for yourself because we are not yet to point the finger. We have to bring all four points, the finger that are pointing at us. Before you talk of anyone, talk of yourself. That's what Hazrat said always. Apni fikar karo, dusre ki fikar mat karo. Apni fikar karo, dusre ki fikar mat karo. Very quickly you point fingers at others, thinking this person's fault and that person's fault, failing to realize that you got the biggest fault. So this nafs of ours is something that misleading us. And the reason is because why we are not controlling it, the moment of controlling this much, let's put a more for example to tell you. That you say, I'm not going to eat this food. That you must make sure that you're not so that you eat, you will not eat it. You must not eat it. When you see the food, I want to eat this food. Yeah, that's your nafs talking now. Mahazad gave a very nice example, you know. Tu mera khuda nahi, main tera bhanda nahi, main tera kena kuma. Main tera tera kuma. That person will eat mithai. He got no money. And now he wants to say, Hazrat, but he must steal from me. Chori kar rahe. So he got no. So he's saying to his nafs, tu mera khuda nahi, main tera bhanda nahi, to main tera kena kuma. This is what he's giving us in the majlis for what? Tell me for what to be this. So nobody gave this. To put into our life the same thing too, that if your eyes look at a woman, you say, you must use this, that you are not my khuda. Hey, nafs, I'm not going to look there. Likewise, you're going to see something, you're going to do something wrong in a cell phone. You open the cell phone. You look to the, you open the good intention. But the moment you open and something by mistake came, but you are so strong, Allah save me. And you make sure you don't look at it. You make sure this nafs is for everyone, for every occasion. It is not for them. For example, I'll give an example. You're working at work in your offices. And a person did something, very big mistake he made. One is you're going to take him to task in front of everyone. The nafs will get very angry. And one is you call him in the office and talk to him with dignity. How many of us talk with dignity? But as the sunnah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, talk to the person with dignity, call him. This is the tariqah of the Buzugana Deen. The tariqah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The tariqah of no one beside our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have to know how to control your nafs. No matter how it is. When you go to your house, your wife will tell you something which is so bad. It is so hurting. All that is happening to you, at that time, how did you respond? Did you make sure that at that time you control your nafs and say, nafs, you deserve this. Nafs, you deserve this. Why? I did so much Allah wrong, that I'm getting punished. Why don't you look at it from that light? That if someone has to tell you something, cause any kind of harm to you in any way, verbally, whatever, why don't you say to yourself, I did so much wrong, Allah, that I'm getting punished. I must not talk bad about it, I deserve it. You're now teaching your nafs to control yourself, how you must control it. That person is not talking to you, that Muslim not talking to you. I say, I'm not going to talk to him till the day, till doomsday. Yeah? That's how they talk. That was Qiyamah, the whole talk that person. Now who's talking that? Is that the nafs and then who else? At that occasion, you know not to talk to a Muslim brother, what a sin it is, what a great punishment it is. When you tell someone, you're not talking to your own brother for so many years, don't you know what to have there, Qiyamah? You know what they say, you'll be shocked. Sometimes even that iman is there or not. Allah mani father. You're supposed to say your nafs, I'm going to talk to him. Because the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us an example. He told us this much: when you go through any difficulties of any kind, the difficulty cannot compare to my difficulties. So look at my difficulty and how I respond to people. If you really love me, then you'll also do the same response. So we don't know that this nafs is our biggest enemy. There is no one else. What is that stops you from going to masjid? No man stops you. Your nafs tell you don't go now, read afterwards. Read afterwards. That afterwards never comes. Everything that happens, you tell them, go and tell them, ask forgiveness to a Muslim brother now, go and ask him for maaf. Then what will dekha jaye baba? We'll see some other time. So nafs, that's all these kind of things. So the most important thing is this much, that until unless we don't have it stamped in our heart to that extent that my Allah, I'm facing of their qiyamah, it will be impossible for us to improve on our lives. Impossible. Today, why do you think a person, he did not prepare, he's got the money, he did not pay his debts, why? He's got the money, he will go for Umrah, he'll go for everywhere, he's got the money to pay. The nafs will say, don't pay now. The moment the nafs say, don't pay now, what are you supposed to do? We know that Rasulullah says, on a day of Qiyamah, Janazah, if that person got any debts, he should not perform Janazah namaz. To show us how important it is. There's so many people owing people money, they are not concerned about it at all. So many people are dealing with usury all the time, you don't know, interest in all of it. You remind them about it, they're not even thinking, let me make tawbah, let me improve myself. What? Nafs. Everything is your nafs, nothing else. Remember one thing. If you and I will not begin to control our nafs, to bring that control, everything, your eyes to mine, I'm not going to talk to that person who did this to me. I'm not going to talk to my wife because of this thing. When so many people, they keep away from the wife for months, not talking to each other. Sit together on one table, eating, not talking. How many days go by? Why? You got nowhere to go. Husband tells, say, you know, you got nowhere to go, you have to stay here. The nafs overtakes all. They make their life miserable for people. You can talk very nice with people, you cannot talk to your own wife. I always tell someone, you spoke like that to your wife, if someone else picked you out, my husband told a very nice thing. I'm only giving my husband advice. He said, you know what? If an outside woman speaks to you in the same thing what your wife tells you, you think she's throwing flowers. My husband said this, and the same wife tells the same thing, you think she's throwing stones on you. How can that be? In other words, trying to tell you, why can't you become controlled of your nafs? Your nafs is the most important thing. What makes you sure to disrespect your mother and father? If your wife have to tell you something about your mother, instead of controlling yourself and between behavior and respect, what do? You begin to take off your mother with disrespect. What made you do that is your nafs. It's your nafs. Everything goes to your nafs. Just to keep your wife happy, you take off with your mother, but I'll give you one nice recipe. Keep that recipe always. It will really take you far. The husband, the wife and mother-in-law are very dangerous. Very dangerous to put them together. See? Whenever the wife tells you, your mother did this with it, you must say, yeah, I'll deal with her. So don't deal with her. What you tell her, don't deal with her. And sometimes they don't, I'm going to see now, I'm going to be now. She said, no, don't do that. That's the only way to see the situation. And your mother sees your daughter and daughter, your wife doing this to the same thing also. Do the same thing. When she tells you, hey, your mother did this and that, yeah, what? But don't do nothing. Just to teach you how you can keep them together. The most important to keep them together, you control your nafs in this way, that you make sure you don't cause any harm to anyone too. Respect is very important. Everything in the morning when you see the alarm going on, your fajr namaz, your eyes open, you put the thing on, no, mine, only in the namaz. Whether my husband to say, when the alarm calls, when the eyes open, it's Allah that wakes you up. It's Allah. If you only know that the time you wake up at the tahajjud, who woke you up, you'll be surprised you won't wake up quickly. Everyone is sleeping. My banda will wake up. I'm going to talk to my banda. He'll leave everything and run. He only knows that. But the nafs will tell that the soldier or soldier or soldier. That's why do not at any time make your nafs to be your slave. It must be your slave. You mustn't become the slave of the nafs. The more you make your nafs to be slave, you notice this much, you will control it all the time. No matter what happens. If the most coldest night too, in the early part of the morning to wake up, hey, it's cold, you know. It's cold. Who's going to wake up now? Who's going to wake up? Hazrat gave us one incident of Ibrahim bin Adam Rahmatullah. He gave us this in the majlis. We are all present there. Alhamdulillah, I'm so happy. I thank Allah. Allah gave me the opportunity in this company. You know, he gave this incident, Ibrahim bin Adam, rahmatullahi, he woke up. When he woke up in the morning to perform his tahajjud namaz, he had to make ghusl. Now, if you have made ghusl as a soldier, no problem. Tahajjud goes and namaz goes to Fard namaz. Allah is Father. Here he wakes up. In the early morning, snow, there's snow. No water. No water at all. There's no water, you know what you and I will do? He said, no water, what can I do? I can't be there. He goes outside in the snow. He made ghusl there. He made ghusl there. You muhabbat al-nafs bi Allah. Is it muhabbat Allah se ho jati hai? When you got the love for Allah Ta'ala, then my dear friends, no one's love can come in between. That's what is wanted today. You don't know what you are missing. You only know the name of sweet meat, you never tasted the sweet meat. All those people who tasted it will come to know. He goes outside, he makes ghusl, and he is shivering. That shivering was so wonderful, Allah Ta'ala. That when he came inside now, when he was reading namaz, he named the tahajjud namaz, in Allah, so. When he said, Allahu Akbar, a big creature came and said, put it on his body. Came in his body and sat down there, and gave him warmth. And he read namaz too peacefully. And the moment he made salam, the creature went away. So Allah ka hota, Allah aap ka hota. The thing is this much that we don't know the value of how much you must keep away from your nafs. Keep away from your nafs. The nafs is your biggest enemy. Not that friend, not this familiar, the nafs. If you can make your nafs, that's why when Umar radiallahu anhu, when that person came and gave that beautiful poison to him, poison, he said, Hazrat, some from non-Muslim king gave his poison. What is this for? He said, this is when you give it to your enemy, they die straight away. They die straight away. Umar don't know what he did. But you know what he did? It's poison. He said, oh, enemy. He drank that thing up. And he drank it up early. The Sahaba, they wanted because something else happened to him. He became the biggest enemy is my nafs. When it comes into your life that your biggest enemy is your nafs. Everything that you commit in him, if you're committing any sin, to think for a moment, what is the cause of that thing to commit my sin? It's because of the nafs. Because you don't want your nafs, you don't want to follow your nafs. He's telling you don't do this, don't do that. So if we can only control our nafs in this sense, you don't want to pay your debt because of your nafs. You don't want to read namaz because of your nafs. You don't want to talk to the next Muslim because of your nafs. Everything comes from nafs. So the nafs have to be controlled. Nafs have to be controlled. And the way only control is all the time keep it controlled. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah says, if nafs se bahut dur ho jao, it must be kept very far from you, it must not be near you at all. Now, you know, I was reading Hakim Akhtar Sahib rahmatullah's kitab, Just coincidence, I said, he sent me some very much those bringing guitars from Pakistan. So I said, when the Hazrat of Qasab Rahmatullah Ali, he gave a nice incident where people go on flights, whether it's Umrah or whatever. They put the eyes too much on the hostess and all that. He said, why don't you console all those things? So people going on journeys to their commitment, there's nuts in that thing. And even though you're going to Umrah and you look at all the food there before you go, you know, in the flight they see all, you have to get on the first, let me pass. Mm-hmm. Nuts will tell you not to read namaz, you don't need namaz too. How are you going to read Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? You're going to Madinah to Munawwara. And here you didn't need namaz on the flight too. And then you look at all the filth and you go in that case. Will he be happy to meet you? So my dear friends, if we can control our nafs, and you notice this, but after I finish this majlis, when you go outside, everyone will open the cell phone. And they say, no, the majlis and the mosque, now be outside. Then you come to know your full test, whether you really I make dua Allah must give us away from it. All the sins I make dua Allah protect us. If you don't protect us, no one can protect us. You must protect us, we are very weak. Don't commit the sins. Become strong. Make your nafs go against your nafs all the time. And then you see inshallah how Allah can be Allah will amal kun tawfiq. اللهم صل على سيدنا وعلى آل سيدنا محمد. اللهم إنا نذكرك وشكرك وحسنك. اللهم أحسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها وأجرنا بخزي الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم نسألك بالضعف والجنة ونعوذ بك من شر السنة. فاطر السماوات أنت ولي الدنيا والآخرة. توفني مسلما وألحقني بالصالحين. وصلى الله تعالى على سيدنا محمد. Thank you.